proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast about Jewish literature. In the previous section, we looked at the Talmud and its contents. In this session, we will attempt to clear up some misapprehensions that non-Jews have about the Talmud. Some people have accused the writers of the Talmud of instructing Jews to place a higher value upon the precepts of the Talmud than on the teachings of the Old Testament. To support their argument, they might cite this verse in the Talmudic tract called Eruvin. Quote, "My son, be more careful in the observance of the words of the scribes than in the words of the Torah." Unquote. The Talmud does not really claim that a Jew should give its teachings priority over those of the Old Testament. Rather, it instructs Jews that the laws of the Bible have greater importance than the rabbinic law. In the Talmudic tractate entitled Shabbat, for example, that particular work stated that an Old Testament prohibition overrode a rabbinic prohibition, if the two injunctions happen to conflict. Some people have claimed that the writers of the Talmud instructed Jews to regard Gentiles as inferiors. However, the Talmud itself does not actually claim that a Jew has more value than a Gentile does. The tractate called Avodah Zorah quoted a rabbi as stating that a Gentile who studied Torah was like a Jewish high priest. Another verse found in the Jerusalem Talmud indicated that God did not withhold rewards from any Gentile who kept his commandments. Nor does the Talmud affirm that the Jew has a right to mistreat a non-Jew. A subdivision of the Talmud called Bava Kamma enjoins Jews against stealing from Gentiles. Another Talmudic tractate entitled Chulin prohibits Jews from deceiving even an idolatrous Gentile. Some people have claimed that the Talmud encouraged immoral behavior among Jews. For example, they might cite a verse in the tractate known as Yebhamot, which stated that a Jew could have sexual intercourse with a 3-year-old girl, thus implying that rabbinic Judaism approved of pedophilia. However, in the tractate known as Ketuvot, a rabbi named Rava compared such an act to sticking a finger into an eyeball. Indeed, rabbinic Judaism as a whole forbids any sexual activity by a Jew outside of marriage. The Talmud does contain a wide variety of rabbinic interpretations in connection with various topics. A question arose, how to reconcile contradictory outlooks. Jewish scholars developed a method called as pilpul, a word that actually means pepper. They use it to describe critical analysis. The principles of pilpul, its adherents contend, give these Talmudic students a tool by which they can reconcile differing opinions. Not all Jews have endorsed this approach, however. Several Jewish scholars have asserted that the advocates of pilpul sought more to impress others with their analytical powers than to discover the underlying truth of a Talmudic passage. A 16th century rabbi called the Maharal of Prague remarked that Jewish students were better off learning a trade rather than what he termed engaging in falsehood. To non-Jewish hearts, the Talmud is indeed a difficult book to interpret, but it does not teach Jews to regard themselves as superior to Gentiles. It does not teach Jews that it's all right to lie to a Gentile. It does not promote promiscuous sexual intercourse. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another session relating to Jewish literature.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.